Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to contains explicit language not appropriate for young ears. We're sorry, we get overly excited. I just want to let you know ahead of time. With that being said, here we go.
Straight off the pages of thescrumsports.com and into your ear holes, it's the Scrum Sports Unfiltered with your hosts, Trevor Grout and the bald and beautiful Brooks Rowland.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Scrum Sports Unfiltered.
Somebody really, really loves that echo. And somebody already started drinking it there.
I don't know what you're talking about at all. I'm not drinking Corona Surf Coke right now.
Nope, that's water. That's simply water that you're hearing right now.
Ooh.
You right there, buddy?
I'm gonna be fucking buzzed by the end of this show. I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna be buzzed.
I'm already jealous because I have to drive.
Yeah, that's
all right. I got liquor at the house. I'll be fine.
Yeah, you can jack a gentleman.
That was actually, you can't steal Travis's joke. Come on.
I just did.
Still, it's not your joke.
I'm not saying it's my joke. I'm willingly admitting it's somebody else's joke, but the people that are listening may not have heard that joke or seen it. They may not be privy to your Facebook.
Fair enough. Well, to give you a little background, last week at my day job, a little bit of a rough week, and I punctuated my Friday evening with a couple glasses of Gentleman Jack on the rocks. And our beloved photographer, Travis Faley, made the joke saying... One of our beloved photographers basically said, "Did you say you're going home to jack a gentleman?" And I was like, all right, touche. Good joke. Very good joke.
Touche, touche indeed. I, of course, am Trevor Grout, joined as always by the voice you hear, the bald, the beautiful, not drinking yet, Brooks Rowland.
Give it time, though. Give it time.
If you really want, antagonize him enough on Facebook and Twitter, he'll heavily drink, and maybe, just maybe, we'll get some golden tweets and Facebook posts from Drunken Brooks.
I've never been one to really go on social media while drinking. That's not going to say one of my ironclad rules, but it's typically something I try to avoid.
By the way, I am totally drinking Crown Reserve and Coke out of my Joe Madden wine glasses that I got for covering the Tampa Bay Rays one time. Never actually use these because I'm not a wine guy.
It's a nice glass, though.
I got two of them.
It's got his signature on it. It's got
his glasses, the Rays logo, Tampa Bay Times. You just keep talking. I'm gonna drink.
Yeah, I will. I'll just keep yapping on while you get hammered over here,
dude. I got a whole entire bottle of Crown Reserve. It usually lasts me a year. All right, so this week we're gonna talk about some predictions, how we think the Lightning season could go, as far as players, as far as outcomes of record, you know, stuff like that. You know, just general pull out of our ass predictions.
Or even, you know, maybe a little bit of where the Lightning star players kind of rank amongst their peers across the NHL.
That and where will Erik Karlsson end up? Breaking news, there is no new news. Nothing has happened since that one Thursday.
Since that one guy in freaking Canada decided to say, "Hey, it's a done deal," and Twitter just goes ablaze, loses their fucking mind. We're all thinking a trade's gonna happen, and it didn't happen.
I'm like a dog chasing his tail. I wouldn't know what to do if I caught it.
Yeah, that was basically Twitter when the Erik Karlsson rumors were going around. Plus, we've also got Bucks preseason football. They've got one game in the books that we've, you know, chatted about already. And in addition, I mean, they've got another game coming up.
But to kick off this show, we're going to talk about a happy moment regarding the Rays. They had their first series win since 2014 in New York at Yankee Stadium.
And you know what? It's I'm glad that they pulled it off. I think we could safely say, though, they're probably at this point, are they really going to be in the playoffs? Probably not.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Don't talk to me about playoffs.
I forgot that's like one of
playoffs.
I forgot that's one of your trigger
you
words.
You kidding me? I hope we just win a game.
You have to excuse me. I briefly forgot that my co-host, that's one of his trigger words. You say playoffs and he immediately, instantaneously goes into his Jim Moore impersonation.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? That'll never get old.
Yeah, don't say XY Scorpion Banana.
Oh, God, no. No. No.
You don't want to use that trigger phrase.
No, we don't.
So, the Rays, for the first time in almost 4 years, got a series win in New York. Now, like we said, no, they're not going anywhere, but there's a lot of optimism for the future. I mean, this could... You look at the Houston Astros and what they did. You know, they started playing young, getting young players in. You know, the players they drafted, similar to kind of what the Rays did back before they made the World Series in 2008. You know, they started the youth movement. You know, more players that were, you know, from the organization had come up through the organization. Guys like Evan Longoria, guys like B.J. Upton, David Price, James Shields. I mean, could the Rays be 2 or 3 years away from being a contender again with this lineup?
I mean, it's possible. I think that they're definitely laying the groundwork. I mean, we've mentioned it before. They kind of went scorched earth with some of the veterans moving them out, and we saw that, you know, near the deadline with Archer getting moved. And the more I think about that trade, and the more I think the Rays really made out like bandits. I mean, nothing against Chris Archer, but I mean, just what they've gotten back in return. And God, I'm drawing a blank on the guy that they just got that was a player to be named later in the deal.
I'm drawing a blank too. To be quite honest, why don't you, you know, pull up that little magic box in your hand? You know, I granted it's an iPhone, but you know we don't judge often. Or much. But no, I really feel... No, this team is not going to make a playoff run this year. No, they're... I mean, they may have an over 500 record, which would be a win if you really think about it. But this is a team that is with Jake Bowers, Christian Arroyo, Willy Adames. I mean, they're so high on Willy Adames, they got rid of Adeni Hechavarria. Wow, I said it right the first time.
There you go. Nicely done.
Thank you. I remember when they first got him, when we were still doing the show with Ryan, and we spent, what, 5 minutes trying to teach me how to say that last name?
By the way, Shane Baz is the guy that I was, that we drew the blank
on. He's got a Baz-ass name.
It's simple, it's to the point. And the kid's, what, 19?
Well, I mean, you also, like, they got Tyler Glasnow, and I forget the outfielder they got, God, I'm drawing a blank. But all of them are young players. And let's be honest here. Chris Archer, while was the quote-unquote ace, never really put up ace numbers. I mean, sure, he would lead the league, you know, be in the tops in strikeouts. But he'd always have a moderate to high ERA.
It seemed like he was getting... like once every few starts, he was going to get shelled.
No, you look at Blake Snell. That kid could be a fucking ace for the Rays.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's 13 or 14 and 5 with under a 2.5 ERA, almost 2. And he's 13 and 5.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I really think the Rays really made out well in that deal. Austin Meadows is the outfielder that we both drew a blank on.
That guy, yeah.
So yeah, now we've got that trade completed now that we've got all the names thrown in there.
I'm surprised they didn't do like in Moneyball. Well, we'll trade you this player, but you got to pay for all the soda in our machine for the rest of the year.
Yeah, if it were like a hockey trade, there'd be like salary cap retention involved. You know, it'd be one of those weird, crazy, complex deals.
Bag of pucks, maybe some Sherwood sticks.
Maybe like...
an athletic supporter.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe a Zamboni. You know,
I want to see a fucking trade where Zamboni's involved.
Oh, God, yes, please. I mean, everybody always makes the joke that, You know, well, we acquired this guy for a bag of baseballs or a bag of hockey pucks or, you know, a bunch of used sticks or used bats. I actually want to see a baseball or hockey trade where that is actually involved.
Wait, time the fuck out. Why would a Zamboni be involved in a fucking baseball trade?
I'm seeing either a hockey trade with a Zamboni or a baseball trade involving, like, say, a bunch of used bats. Either way.
The way you said it before, it made it sound like you were talking about a baseball trade involving a Zamboni. And there's not that many Canadian teams left, so you know that won't happen. I mean, it's only the fucking Blue Jays.
That would be kind of random, though, if that happened. we're gonna throw in a couple minor league outfielders, a Zamboni, and like a hot dog vendor.
I'd take the hot dog vendor.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially, well, if that was New York, I'd take the hot dog vendor.
Yeah, or Milwaukee.
Or Milwaukee. Yeah. No. Milwaukee, beer.
Yes. Or bratwursts.
Yes. Anything in Wisconsin? Cheese.
Yes. Done deal.
I will trade Brooks Roland to either New York, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or Canada for a hot dog vendor, beer, cheese, or a Zamboni. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You could have your very own Brooks Roland.
I'm on the market.
He will make off-kilter comments.
I will even waive my no-trade clause.
Brooks, you don't have a fucking no-trade clause. I wrote your contract. You don't have a no-trade clause.
I don't even have a contract. What are you talking about?
Oh, you do. You just don't know about it.
Okay, I see how it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, the Rays, I really feel, are 2 to 3 years away from really, truly being a powerhouse again in the AL East. I really feel by 2020, 2021, whatever it is, whenever the new stadium opens.
Never.
Yeah. it's going to happen, maybe. I really feel like they could be raising a new banner.
I hope you're right. I absolutely hope you're right. I really would love to see the stadium get done, provided...
Did I tell you about Game 1 of the World Series?
You may have mentioned something.
Ryan and I went to Game 1 of the World Series against the Phillies. We both spray-painted our hair blue, because, you know, that was the thing to do that year.
The Rays Hawk?
Yeah, I couldn't do the Rays Hawk. I was working in retail. My boss was...
Okay.
Yeah, he was very against that. But, you know, the way the game went, you know, my hands went through my hair a few times, and it looked like I jerked off a Smurf.
Nice. Very, very nice. Actually, more like disturbing, but nice as in, like, you know...
La, 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 la,
oh, Jesus.
La, 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 la.
As if that cartoon wasn't creepy enough as it is.
So, with that, I think we both agree. The Rays, 2 to 3 years away. Hopefully, Kevin Cash is still the manager when they make this run. I really feel his whole opener thing is going to become a new trend in Major League Baseball. I hear some teams have either tried it or are looking to actually try it. So, Kevin Cash, kudos to you for being on the Trailblazer. Hopefully, we get a few more years. The Rays get a few more years of you, and the fans get to see you more, because I really feel he has that potential to lead them to a long playoff run.
And let's be honest, I mean, since he was hired, this team has dealt with so many injuries year in and year
mostly
out.
Mostly to
Kevin Kiermaier. I mean, they've dealt with having their best players traded, their star players traded, and yet they just keep soldiering on. I mean, are they going to be a postseason team this year, like I said earlier? Probably not, but I like the groundwork. I like what's being laid down right now. And hopefully we get a chance to see these guys grow together over the next few years.
Absolutely. And speaking of growing together, I really feel the Buccaneers are going to be better than what the national pundits are predicting them to be. I've seen as low as 4-12.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that.
I'm not going to say they're going to go 12-4. I'm not going to say they're going to go 11-5 or 10-6. I see a good 8-8, 9-7 team this year. They're not going to make the playoffs. Now, granted, knock on wood, I hope they do. They're not going to.
We predicted, what, 7-9 on a recent show?
I believe we did.
Yeah, I think we both said 7-9, which is an improvement, and it's a step back in the right direction. I'm just curious to see what happens when Winston comes back from his suspension. Is he going to step right in? Is he going to pick up where he left off once he returned from injury last year? Or is he going to regress? That's going to be, that's one of the big questions.
Well, have you seen the big rumblings? So apparently, and I haven't watched a game of this team, but apparently Teddy Bridgewater has looked very good and still is only 25 years old. He has a higher completion percentage in games that he's played. He has less turnovers in games he's played compared to Winston. And there's talk that Tampa Bay should be a team that looks at going after him. And possibly having him push Jameis to be the franchise quarterback.
That's, here's the thing, though. Are you bringing him in to be the backup? I mean, are you bringing him in to supplant Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, when would this... If you're, you know, well, going no, if theoretical...
They bring, if they brought him in... It's not going to be till if the trade was done. If. It won't be probably until the end of the preseason because the Jets want to see how well Sam Darnold plays.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure they've got all their ducks in a row. So if it happens, it's going to be then. So by that time, there's not going to be enough time for Bridgewater to learn the playbook.
No.
And play those first three games. However, he could push Winston to be Fitz's backup.
And I can see that. I mean, it
well, I say push Winston. Clearly, right now, going into the first three games of the season, Ryan Griffin's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick's backup.
Right.
It's going to be a tale of two Ryans. But, I mean, who knows? Could they go after Bridgewater? Is the front office doubting Jameis enough that they would make that kind of trade?
Well, I think it's going to... It's going to hinge on how well the preseason goes. And based on the first game, all three quarterbacks looked pretty damn good against
Miami.
That's
the only fucking thing that looked good. Their running game looked like shit.
Oh, I know. That's the thing about it is that the passing game last season was what really drove the offense because the running game wasn't there a year ago. We didn't really see much from the running game in the preseason opener, with the exception of the couple short touchdown runs.
The Duggar Knot looked like a Duggar Knot.
Okay, see what you did there. I see what you did there. I mean, I'm when it comes to players, you know, around the league, I'm genuinely curious to see how well he does in Oakland. I mean,
he's not going to be the starter because he's going to be sharing time with Beast Mode. By the way, I'm only here today so I don't get fined.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but Beast Mode's probably at the end of the line, I think. And
dude, yeah. Oh, of course
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, because last year he just looked like a shell of his former self. And then...
It's never a good idea for a player to take a year off and then come back. Because you know he wasn't training as hard as he should have been in that year he had off.
I mean, we don't know that for a fact, but at the same time...
I said probably.
I hear you. But... It is very, very difficult, especially when you take time, when you get into that routine, when your body gets into that routine of training every year and then taking a pounding during training camp and preseason, the regular season, you get used to that routine. And then when you get out of it, I imagine I don't know this for certain, but I imagine it's got to be so hard to kind of get back into that groove if you're to leave for a year.
My glass is coming empty.
I see this. You've been putting that drink back pretty quickly since we started the show.
You will all die.
I don't even know what to say to that. That makes me want to run for the door like right now.
Or heavy metal headbang.
I mean, hey, put some music on right now. Absolutely. It did sound very death metal growly.
It did. Not Danzig-esque, but it did.
No.
So, a couple of things we're looking for at the rest of the preseason. Obviously, the quarterbacks to continue playing extremely well. Now, as we all know, there's not a lot of game planning in the preseason. It's pretty much practicing plays that you don't want to practice in practice. I mean, that's all it is. Training preseason is glorified practice against another team in a stadium, not on a practice field.
And the problem with the preseason, and this gets talked,
where do you fucking start?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. This gets brought up every year, and with good reason, because the preseason is basically about a couple different things.
Getting the referees to figure out what the new fucking rules are.
Exactly. That's one thing. It's also about, you know, getting
John Madden his turducken.
That as well. And then getting everybody kind of, you know, in shape for the regular season, you know, relearn, you know, getting used to getting back into game shape. But the thing is, you don't need four fucking games for it.
How many times have we seen big name players hurt in the preseason?
And we've already seen one first round pick, one second round pick that could have been a first round pick hurt already, done for the year.
Yeah.
Darius Geis
from Washington, which pretty much fucks their running game because one of their other running backs is done for a month. And then,
well, they've got like 12 running backs in their stable.
I'm trying to think of the one. Oh, fuck. What's his name?
Samaje Perine.
Yes. He's out for a little bit with an injury. Dude, I remember drafting one time in like the first round, first week of the preseason, and I drafted like two or three guys, one of which was Kelvin Benjamin when he played for Carolina. 2 days later, got fucking hurt.
And that's why you always have a fantasy draft after week three of the preseason, because you know nobody of consequence is going to play in week four.
Except for Jameis Winston.
Well, yeah, this is very true.
Because that's going to be his last action for almost
a month, yeah. But
and it's probably going to be his last action unless he goes into an Uber again.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, let's not get into that whole debacle. But you look at what the preseason used for. Practice for the refs. Practice for the players. Try not to get injured. I mean, but it's all about getting extra money for the owners too, because you get those two extra home games. I think that if you just cut it down to two preseason games, you're fine. That should be enough. But here's the problem you find in that, though, is that the league will say, well, if we're gonna take two preseason games away, we might as well add two to the regular season, which I absolutely hate, because you know this is a league that says they're about player safety and have been making rules for years in regards to, you know, making it quote unquote safer for players. So you want to add two extra fucking games? Really? Like, because this has been brought up before, and adding to the regular season would be a mistake to me. You leave the regular season as it is. You shorten the preseason to two games. It lessens the chance of injury because we've already seen Darius Geis go down. We've already seen Isaiah Wynn, the Patriots pick at left tackle, go down with a torn Achilles for the year. He's done for the entire season, or an ankle injury. I can't remember right off the top of my head. But obviously, I mean, that's the worst of the preseason right there, is when you see key players that you're counting on go down for the entire season.
Yeah. No, trust me. I can't tell you how many fantasy football season drafts have been fucked by preseason injuries. I cannot tell you how many. I wish I could. That's why we're doing our draft after week four.
Yes.
Because we're 100% sure no one's going to get hurt in that fourth game.
Yeah. The league that I run, we're having our draft on Labor Day night, which is basically, what, 3 days before the Thursday night opener?
I'm going to be drunk on Labor Day night.
I support it. Hit up that Crown Reserve, buddy.
I'm probably going to hit it up again before the evening's over. Moving on. Coming up soon, in a few short weeks, well, about 6 weeks, just about 6 weeks, the Lightning will have their home opener. But before their home opener comes their preseason, comes their training camp. And with that, we're going to look at how some of the Lightning players stack up and give you a couple preliminary early predictions on how we feel the Lightning will do. Now, I'm going to name off players, and I'm going to let our resident encyclopedia determine where he feels these players rank. Are we going to go based on position, like set position, or like winger, center, defense? Are we going to go center, left wing, right wing, defense,
goalie? Let's go winger, center, defense. We don't have to get left wing or right wing specific.
All right, I'm gonna throw you off a little.
Okay.
Andrei Vasilevsky.
Where he ranks?
No!
Well,
what size his fucking goalie pads are, you dipshit? Yes, where he fucking ranks.
Okay, calm down. Breathe.
You're the one that wanted to do the fucking rankings!
Just relax. Somebody's had a little too much to drink.
Fuck you!
I know. I may know a place you can get some marijuana to calm down.
Fuck off. Where does Andrei Vasilevsky rank?
If you're talking about goalies right now, probably...
No, I'm talking goalies...
Hey, let me finish. Let me finish, dipshit. Ass. Douche. Jerk. Butthole. Asswipe. All right, well, if you're talking about where he ranks right now, I'm going to say probably, I mean, based on where last season ended, I'm going third because it's, I mean, right, I would say right behind Connor Hellebuyck, right behind Pekka Rinne. But at the same time, you look at future potential and what he could do. I mean, he's easily a top three or four goalie in this league right now, in my opinion.
Braden Point.
Braden Point's got to be probably in, being that he's a center, he's easily, I would say, in the top 20 to 25 centers in the entire league. Probably, I would say, closer to the top 20.
I'd actually go closer to top, not crack the top 15, but somewhere in between 15 and 20, because
okay.
Not only is he a good center, he's probably, arguably, for his age, one of the best two-way players in the game.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you consider where he is right now at his age compared to other players that have, you know... Because as we've mentioned before, his learning curve was not as steep as some other guys that we've seen come up through the Lightning system. I mean, he bypassed the AHL practically entirely on his own. I would definitely put him in the 15 to 20 range in terms of centers. Now, being that we're also on centers...
I'm the one calling the names here, bitch.
All right, fucker.
Ryan McDonough,
all right. I would say, I think we actually had this discussion. Didn't we have a discussion about him, like you trying to say that he was one of the top 20 defensemen? I mean, he's probably a top 25, 30. I don't know if I'd put him in the top 20. I mean, there's a lot of damn good defensemen in this league right now.
I mean, here's the thing. I would say Victor Hedman, but we know where the fuck he ranks.
Yeah, he's number one.
I mean, there's nobody better.
Yeah.
When you win the Norris Trophy,
yeah,
you're the number one defenseman for a reason.
Exactly.
And anybody who doesn't put you as the number one defenseman needs to have their credential yanked.
Yes. Or they need to just stop watching hockey because they don't know what they're doing.
We're going to wrap this up with two names.
Okay.
You know where I'm going with this. Name number one, Nikita Kucherov.
Right now, I'd say he's the top winger in hockey.
That's lofty.
Dude just had a 100-point season. He's only one of three players in the entire league with 100 points.
Steven Stamkos.
I'm going to say top 12 center, probably around the 12 to 13 range.
I would agree with that just because he's not... that good on faceoffs. Like, he's good. He plays in the NHL. He's good, but he's not... He's the third best faceoff center on the team behind Tyler Johnson and Braden Point.
Right, and he's not as good of a two-way player. I mean, he's not terrible defensively,
but
he's
not... No, the best two-way player on the team is Andrei Palat.
Oh, by far. And he's a winger.
And then you have Braden Point right behind him, and yeah...
Yeah, I would say Stamkos is definitely around 12 or 13 because I remember seeing a list that NHL Network did of like the top 25 centers, and Stamkos, and I saw where Stamkos was. I was like 12th, and then I saw the names above him, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense, because you had guys like Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, Andrei Kopitar, John Tavares, Tyler Seguin, Mark Scheifele, you know, guys like that, Austin Matthews, even guys like that above him. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can agree with that. I can see with that. I think that that's where I'd put him right now.
How many points do you see the Lightning having this season? Now, mind you, we're going to do a couple of these. This is a first of many predictions. So I think they're going to be right around where they were last season. I'm taking the lazy route. Yes, that's me. Completely taking the lazy route. I think they will get back to the Eastern Conference Final. I think whoever they face, they're going to beat. Because, to be honest with you, if they were to play the Washington Capitals again, which I don't think they're going to, I think Washington is actually going to crash and burn this year, because they're on the top of the mountain now. There's no more excuses. There's no more, oh, well, we had a good season, yay, and No more excuses. I don't think they're going to be able to have that pressure on their shoulders. They will crack.
Well, and the thing is, now the pressure's kind of off them. I mean, they not to mention, they've spent the entire goddamn summer celebrating. I mean, they're probably going to show up to training camp hungover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Has anybody actually had their day with the cup, or has it just been Ovechkin?
No. The other guys on the team have actually had their days, because I've seen some stuff on NHL Network, and they've shown some of the other guys having their day with the cup. So Ovechkin has relented and surrendered the cup so his teammates could have their day with it. But it looked like for a while he wasn't going to give it up.
How many points are they going to have?
I'm going to predict that the Lightning I'm going to go with 100. They had 113 last year. I'm going to say 118 this year.
So you're going up.
I'm going up.
I'm going to say between 113 and 115.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm going to say they're going to stay right around where they were, maybe have one more win compared to one more loss. Does Nikita Kucherov get either the Hart or the Art Ross?
I think Kucherov...
Could he battle for the Rocket Richard?
I think he falls just short of 40 goals, or of 50 goals. I think he finishes with around 45 or so. But I'm going to say he tops 100 points again. I'm going to predict that he actually gets the Art Ross this year.
Okay. Does Victor Hedman become a two-time Norris Trophy winner?
I'm going to say no, but it'll be close. I think he's going to be a finalist again, but I think that somebody else will end up winning the trophy.
Does Andrei Vasilevsky win the Vezina?
Yes.
You're going to start that fucking hashtag again, aren't you?
I might hold off this time.
Yeah, because you saw how that fucking worked out, didn't you?
Well, here's the thing. For 75% of the season, it was dead on. And it wasn't necessarily his fault.
Fucking cursed him.
I didn't curse shit.
Speaking of cursing, if you want to yell at Brooks Rowland, you can always hit him up on Twitter.
At BrooksRowland82.
You can always hit me up on Twitter at TrevorG_Scrum. You can yell at me, but I'm just going to ignore you or mute you. I'm just being honest. I might play around with you for a few and, you know, kind of mess with you, send you some weird gifts that you probably didn't even know existed.
If you want, I'll yell at Trevor for you. It's okay.
And I'll smack him.
Whoa, bless you. That whiskey catching up to you there, buddy?
A little bit. If you want to find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at The Scrum Sports, hit us up over at thescrumsports.com. A lot of great content coming out this weekend. Some Rays stuff. Definitely WWE stuff with SummerSlam weekend in full effect. But yeah, check out the website and stay tuned to Bolts Radio and TBL Power Play, because the Scrum Sports Hockey Show, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming back for season 3. We're bigger, we're better, we're badder than ever.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh,
no. So much fun.
The fun part is coming up with another season of Famous Duos and not repeating.
You've actually got the list written down of what we've gone through already, haven't you?
Yeah.
Ah, really?
The show's recorded, so...
Okay, fine. I figured you would have, like, taken meticulous notes of which ones you used, which ones you haven't. Okay, fair.
But yeah, that does it for us this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Once again, if you want to shoot us a topic for next week's show, use the hashtag TalkingScrum.
Scrum or Scrum Sports Unfiltered.
Scrum Unfiltered.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, so thanks, everybody. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week. Bye.